Welcome to another episode of Schneps Connects. I want to remind everybody out there that we've extended Schneps Connects beyond a podcast. We're meeting every single month for business networking on Long Island, bringing in some amazing guest speakers from all different industries. If you want to learn more about it, check out schnepsconnects.com. And then the podcast, of course, you're listening to us. You know where to find us on all major podcast platforms or our website at podcast.schnepsmedia.com. So today we're going to talk about railway. Yes, railway here in New York City and Long Island. I'm joined by Marlon Taylor, who's the president of New York and Atlantic Railway, which is the primary freight rail carrier serving Long Island and New York City. New York and Atlantic plays a critical role in keeping our regional economy moving by transporting building materials, food products, recyclables, and really other essential goods while connecting local businesses to the broader North American freight network. Working in coordination with the Long Island Railroad, the busiest commuter rail line in North America, they also deliver major environmental and infrastructure benefits by removing more than 120,000 heavy truck trips from local roads each year. So just imagine what the LIE would feel like without a rail. Marlon brings more than 25 years of railroad experience to the role. Since becoming president in 2024, he has led day-to-day operations, strategic planning, infrastructure modernization, and key stakeholder relationships while championing sustainability initiatives and greener technologies. Beyond the railroad, Marlon is deeply engaged in the business and civic community, serving with organizations including Vision Long Island and the Queens Chamber of Commerce. So, Marlon, good to see you again.
Thank you for having me. The windup, I feel ready for this now. All of that says something, and I appreciate the invite. I appreciate the intro. That sounded really, really impressive. I'm impressed with that guy.
Right, exactly. Who is that person? You have to look in the mirror every once in a while. But, you know, for me, it was really eye-opening to visit you at your headquarters and seeing the rail line and really getting a better understanding of what critical infrastructure it is, not just for commuters, but for almost all the things that we need in our lives. So, you know, I definitely want you to share, you know, that with the people listening, but would love to just hear, how did you get into this line of work and really the rail industry to start off?
First, this is your railroad. This is Queens Railroad. This is New York City's railroad. This is Long Island's railroad. This is our backyard. These are the customers and the businesses we serve. So we're always glad to have people come by because this is your railroad. You should come out and see it, experience it. And most people are familiar with passenger service, but not so much with freight service. And so we enjoy showing off our railroad, showing off our technology, our people. So always glad to see people come by our head office in Glendale, Queens. I got involved in a railroad in 1999 in California. And so Anacostia Rail Holdings operate six railroads across the U.S. And the big one was in California, ports of L.A., Long Beach, serving a lot of the containerized traffic that comes into the U.S. from Southeast Asia. So about 40% of the containers coming to the U.S. comes through that gateway. So I started a railroad in there. And how? I had a friend of mine, his uncle worked for the railroad, and he said to me, "Hey, do you want to do this?" And I said, "I'm not sure." And he said, "Yeah, I think he'll be fine." And I said, "I'm not sure." And so eventually we talked about it. He loved it. And so I followed him there. And that person's name is Jeff Robinson, still there in California working on the railroad. Hey, Jeff. So that's how I got involved. I knew a guy whose uncle worked for the railroad.
And you've been in this industry ever since?
Ever since, yeah. So since 1999 until now, yeah.
So talk about what the freight line does. I mean, I feel like it's for people that don't know, they have no idea. So why don't you draw the picture for us in terms of what it is that you guys are responsible for on a daily basis?
So back in 1997, the Long Island Railroad decided to focus in on passenger service, and they franchised the freight portion. Both existed on the Long Island, obviously, before that. And to fine-tune their passenger service, they felt MTA felt it was best to separate the two things. And so we have the freight franchise. We've operated since 97 and plan to operate it till for another decade. But that's how it started. MTA, the governor, Long Island Railroad, deemed it necessary and a good idea to separate passenger from freight, so both things can get specialized, unique, one-on-one attention. And so that's when we came in. We won the franchise. And so on the same tracks that Long Island Railroad operates on, we're operating. The difference is we're operating off-peak hours. So we're mostly out there midnight and midday. So if people don't see us, we're there, but it's only because we're doing off-peak hours. That's when the opportunities are there, when we don't want to impact on-time performance. So we are secondary to that, and we operate off-peak hours for the most part.
In the intro, I mentioned, really the amount of truck traffic that's reduced by using freight. So, why don't you share the types of things that you're really transporting?
The reason we reduce truck trips, it's because one rail car carries as much weight as four trucks. And so by using rail, you're kind of reducing emissions by 75% just by that math. The math of one rail car replaces roughly four truck trips. And so we're better that way. And so what we're doing on the railroad, it's a lot of heavy, bulky consumer and business to business material. For example, a lot of construction material. We bring to market lumber, plywood, cement, sand, crushed rock. Anything you can think of construction-wise, we're probably handling it. We do food-grade products. So we bring to market potatoes, tomato sauce, rice, beans, beer, food-grade oils that you can blend from Canada. And on the outbound side, what we do are a lot of recyclables, crushed glass, scrap metal, and waste. And so we do what's called construction demolition debris. When you remodel your home and you crush that and throw it out, some of that will end up going to landfill out of state. And so we do some of that. So a broad region is diverse. And so our business is diverse. Our products are diverse. And roughly, if you're moving heavy, bulky material over long distances in great volumes, we probably can help you.
And what's interesting to me is how interconnected really freight lines are across the country, right? So give an example of where your part of the line starts and stops and what it feeds into.
Okay.
I find that really interesting.
So, yes, it's a relay race, railroading, really. It's a baton. You're passing the car from railroad to railroad. So each railroad has its territory, and it runs that territory, hands off the car at the end of that line to another railroad. And so a relay race, a baton handing from one railroad to the other. Our territory, like we talked about earlier, it's Long Island and New York City. And so we're serving Brooklyn, Queens. That's our territory. And in Queens, now we connect with the national network. All of the cars we get from the mainland that comes across a waterway, a bridge somewhere, and the somewhere one gateway is in Brooklyn, Bay Ridge, right around the Brooklyn Army Terminal. Yard is called 65th Street Rail Yard, but it's right next to the Brooklyn Army Terminal. So that's kind of one way in. The other way in is from Oak Point, and that's in the Bronx. And so those are the two spots that feeds into our yard in Queens. And those railroads are also getting those cars from Chicago, Ohio, all across the US. But our two main gateways will be Brooklyn, Bay Ridge, and Oak Point, the Bronx.
And then where do those points feed into? Because I believe one of them was ferry, right? And
Right.
then the other are just other rail lines that can
Right,
take you
right,
north
right.
or west or south.
Right. So the Brooklyn Gateway, you're right. It's probably only two of these operations exist in the US. I think one is in Alaska and one is in Brooklyn. And what they do, they float rail cars from New Jersey, from Greenville Yard to Brooklyn. And so
Amazing.
you've got a car float loaded up with 18 cars, and they float those across. And they can float two or three times a day, depending on the volume, depending on the need of that day. But they're floating across from Greenville in New Jersey to Bay Ridge in Brooklyn. And that railroad, it's owned by the Port Authorities, and its name is the New York New Jersey Rail. And they connect in turn to Conrail, and in turn connects to the Norfolk Southern, and the Norfolk Southern is a national carrier. Their territory goes all the way to Chicago. And so on the Bay Ridge side, you've got us, New York New Jersey Rail, Conrail, and Norfolk Southern. On the Northern Gateway, which we're talking about the Bronx, that's the CSX. And they also go as far as Chicago. And so that's how we get fed. And so imagine the guys coming from Chicago, or they're picking up cars all over, and they're getting cars from the railroads in the West. And the two railroads in the West are the BNSF and the Union Pacific. And so, for example, when we get Modelo beer, it comes from Mexico. And so the Union Pacific brings it from Mexico to Chicago, hands it off to the Norfolk Southern in Chicago. Norfolk Southern then picks it up from Chicago, takes it to New Jersey, and from there, Conrail, New York and Jersey Rail, and New York and Atlantic, and we deliver product, a rail car with products to Manhattan Beer in Ridgewood. So hopefully, it's complex, it's huge, but that's the point. A railroad can get you to Mexico at a reasonable rate where a truck could not. And so trucks are useful, trucks are good. We both need to play a role in transportation. But what railroads are really good at, it's that conversation, that math, that equation. If you want some Modelo and Corona from Mexico, we can do it better than probably a truck can.
I mean, it sounds like it's really a big part of your roles is developing relationships to communicate to people if you need to get something from point A to point B, which we serve, we'll make that happen. Even if you need to get to California, you can figure it
We can.
out for them and develop those partnerships with it,
Right.
whatever other rail is out there, right?
Right. If you have a need, we can try to connect you to a resource to supply that need. And so we're bringing tomato sauce from all over the country. We do bring products from California as well. We will try to find partners to help you fulfill that need. Yes.
And I assume it's vice versa too. Like you'll get a phone call from somebody that
Right.
needs to get something out to Long Island,
Right.
and they have to connect with you in order to use the line and, coordinate that. Am I getting that right?
Yes, yeah, it's the same thing. So a customer would come to us and say, we would like to get from New York to Ohio. And we say, okay, let's sit and figure that out. What are you trying to do? What type of equipment do you need? What's this product? Where is the end point? Where's the destination? And we will try to figure out something. On the opposite side, another railroad would call us and say, I need to get to New York City. Can you help us? And we're like, well, where in New York City do you plan on going? And maybe we can help you. So yes, it's a pull demand from both sides. At our origin and then from destination as well. Yeah.
I mean, it's really amazing when I went there because sometimes visually you have to see it because you don't really think about it, right? I mean,
Right.
you guys technically or realistically are kind of in the background on these tracks. But, I think when I was there, there were just one car after the other full of lumber.
Yes.
And you think about what it would take otherwise to be able to transport that
Right.
would have been really difficult. And then I met that gentleman from the Crush Recyclables
Yeah, from
company, and
Gershaw
you
Recycling,
realize.
Pete. Yes.
You know,
So,
there's a lot of metal out there that people
yes.
use, and how do you think it gets from point A from point B? So it's
So,
really largely you guys that's
right.
transporting that because it's got to be tremendously difficult to fill a truck with, just slabs of metal.
You've got to find trucks in the first place. You've got to be able to find a fleet of trucks, and that's not
Sure.
always available to you, right? But back to the lumber, known fact. The 22 Home Depot stores on Long Island are served by us for
Wow.
lumber. Not all their products, but for lumber products. And so they've got a depot in Yaphank. And so when you saw a lot of those lumber cars, we serve a good amount of lumber customers, the biggest being Home Depot.
They definitely go through a lot of lumber. That's for sure.
Yeah. If nobody else, they do.
So what
Yes.
else can you share? I mean, one of the things that I thought, obviously, besides being, blown away by the logistics when you explained it to me, is really, the trains themselves. I'd love you to share, A, the technology behind, the trains, but also all the different parts of the train are
Right.
other people's parts, right? Those are not yours.
Right. So we operate 15 locomotives, and that's the power, the pull, the strength to move the trains. That's the locomotive, the head, the engine. So we own 15 of those and different types of locomotives. But the main thing it is that a locomotive has a diesel engine, but the diesel engine is only there to produce electricity to turn the wheels. So the wheels are being turned. So the engine turns. Generator in turn creates electricity to power the wheels. So although we have an engine, the engine doesn't directly turn the wheels. And that brings into the technology. It's old technology, but still the best technology. What happens now from the wheels turning, it's a steel wheel on a steel rail. And so the point of contact is so tiny, it's like a dime. But what that also does, it helps with little resistance because it's a tiny spot, and so you've got to figure out pulling power, stopping power. But it's really cool to realize, I think the first railroad was 1830 until now. It's the kind of the same technology, different
Amazing.
power. At one point it was steam and coal, now it's diesel and an engine. But the idea of the steel wheel on the steel rail, it's still solid, it still makes sense, and it's still not technology we use. It might be, it doesn't sound like technology, but we have not found a better way to run and to operate an engine in a railroad other than a steel wheel on steel rails. And for folks out there, we're always glad to do tours and show off our railroad. And if this is all sounds great, reach out. We'll get you on a tour. We'll have you come by and see our facilities. If it sounds awful, stop listening from right
Right, exactly. Listen, we're all kids at heart.
here.
Everyone loves to see a train, especially one up close and personal. You don't get that opportunity to go up to a rail yard all that often, especially city folk.
Yeah, and I've never seen someone come by, walk away disappointed in seeing a locomotive, being on a locomotive, touching a locomotive, and just being around a locomotive. And so always glad to see people come by. As far as the cars that we have in the yard, right, we don't necessarily own the cars, we transport the cars. And so for we are from Mexico, they require a certain type of car. So they go out, they source the car, load the car, and then the railroad transports the car. And so that's how it works. For Gershaw Recycling, who you met Pete Valiant when he was here, it's the same thing. They source the cars, load the cars, and we get the cars from point A to point B. And so we don't necessarily own or are involved in the actual rail cars. We're involved in transporting the rail cars. And the reason being, there are lots of different types of rail car, like you saw when you were here.
Sure.
And so having a fleet of all those wouldn't make sense for us. It's too many different types of cars. We don't know what the next customer would want or could want. And so buying cars and having cars, we don't see that as the best way. So we connect a customer with a rail car provider and they do their own transactions and then we provide the service of transportation.
I assume, though, that if somebody's interested in freight, that that's something that you can help them with in terms of figuring out who to coordinate it with.
Right. Yes, we do all of
You
that.
really
So we
help
will.
people from point A to point B, literally holding their hands throughout the
Yes.
process.
And we have to because a lot of people have never shipped by rail, don't know how to ship by rail. And so when we have a new customer, a big part of it is getting them through the process. What does it mean? How do you get from point A to point B? What are the paperwork, the ETAs, the timeline, all of that? So a big part of what we're doing is educating the customer on what it means to move by rail.
So it's interesting how the technology has really survived all these years with freight. But what would you say is the future in terms of freight lines and where there may be perhaps opportunities for growth or where is investment being made in infrastructure and even innovation?
A lot of things are going into rail now. For example, last year we added a $1.7 million track project to the yard in Queens to make us more fluid, give us more capacity, and so we can serve our customers better. So we spend that money with the idea that we can be better for our customers. We're also now looking at rebuilding some of our locomotives to get them to be a tier four, EPA tier four standard, the cleanest diesel you can operate. And so we're looking to invest in that as well. And so you can invest in the track structure like we did with the $1.7 million. You can look to upgrade your locomotives to be a cleaner technology. And that benefits the environment, the community, and just a good product to have to stand behind. And so you can look to partner with the Long Island Railroad. We operate on their lines. Where are there opportunities for us together invest? Where are there opportunities for us to be a little bit faster when it comes to service on the main line when we're interacting with them? How do we coordinate better? How do we improve our safety? There's always a lot to do when it comes to improving and getting stronger. Always a lot to do.
Is there any opportunity in the future, you think, for battery? Is that a possible technology for freight lines, or is it just not enough energy?
It is. People are trying it now. Our sister railroad in California, where I started railroading, I think they got one last year to try a battery electric locomotive. I've not kept up too close with it, but people are trying it. The concern is the charge time. So it will pull, it will have power, but how long does it take to charge? Imagine it takes you 30 minutes to charge your iPhone. Imagine what it takes to charge a locomotive. It'll be hours. And so how do you get that done? Those are just a couple of things to think about. It is, I think battery, it's out there. The downtime for charging, I think, is a difficult thing to overcome when if that is 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was a little breathtaking for me because I'm not one to be around trains too often. How large those locomotives are. And they are huge machines, let
And so
alone everything they're pulling.
to replace a diesel engine with battery, you will have thousands of pounds of battery. And how do you charge that quickly? Matter of fact, I think you will need a substation. Right.
Wow. I mean,
You
also,
can't plug
how
that
is
into
that
walls,
sustainable?
right? You can't plug that into the wall and get that going, right?
Right. And also, how is it sustainable? What happens to that battery? I mean, if you have this
Right.
massive battery, what do you do with it at the end of life?
Right. So
You
it's out
burn it.
there. People are trying LNG. People are falling back now to, like I talked about, just a simple, good diesel engine, right? So if battery is not the answer right now, do we go to the middle ground, which it's a tier four clean diesel engine for now until we can get the battery or the other technology up to par?
Well, listen, Marlon, thank you for keeping New York moving. Somebody listening in should take him up on his invite to check out their headquarters and the rail line and the locomotives. It's all pretty cool.
I thank you for this time. I thank you for coming by. And as an example, Josh came by, and I'm talking to Josh again. So if you come by, we will continue a conversation. So please reach out, stop by, see our people, see our railroad, and see our service. Love to have you guys.
Thanks again, Marlon. Pleasure to see you.
All right. Take care, Josh.